Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. I bless you, Lord, that as we glorify Jesus, the church is edified. And I thank you, Lord, that this light of God permeating the souls of men is going to light away every manner of ignorance and push us to the place of understanding your love better and better, in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking from where we left, we've been talking about giving for quite a while, and it's going to be a long journey so that we are able to critically analyze and check on this topic. It's been a question with many people, many hearts, and people asking different questions. Last week we talked about Melchizedek being a typology of the Son of God from the book of Hebrews. And the reason why we are using the book of Hebrews, backtracking to our conversation, is like in daily news. For example, you hear news about this president, this minister, this prime minister, this country. Those are news. And those news are pointing us to a detail. For example, if there's news somewhere of somebody winning the World Cup or winning a medal, a marathon medal, the news will give us scanty details, but it will be to explain and give a light to what happened. So for us to better understand the details, we need to go back to the ground and find out at what point did the person drink water, was he tired, by the time he was finishing, this is how he felt, he went to the paramedics. So the Old Testament carries the details. The New Testament is an explanation of the Old Testament. In other words, the New Testament brings light, brings some clarity on some of the things that were used there. And the writer begins by saying, in sundry times God spoke to our father. So the writer of Hebrews thereby is a Jew who is actually explaining what was written before to their fathers. It says in these last days he has spoken to us through his son, Jesus Christ. So you find that he is using the Old Testament as a ground to explain why Jesus is the last explanation. So in Melchizedek's story, we find is a typology of Christ, and is so loud in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, which we are still continuing to study even today. And days go by, I pray by the help of God we shall be able to decipher and understand more. So you find Hebrews chapter 7, we looked at that. Why is he like a son of God? I pray that you'll get hold of the previous session, because today we want to pick it up from there and continue about the tenth, the tithe, because that is our main focus today, that Abraham gave Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of the tithe, a tenth of all his spoils. So let's read Hebrews chapter 7 verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So when you look at it contextually, based on what we read before in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 3, also you read verse 4 of Hebrews 7, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Verse 6, but he whose descendant is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. So he was in the lineage of the Levites, Levitical order, but he received a tenth of Abraham's spoils and still gave blessing, or blessed Abraham who had promises. So when you look at that, and that he explained the tithe as a tenth or 10% of the spoils that Abraham gave to Melchizedek. And it would be very unjust of us to read it out of context, so that we need to understand when Abraham was giving this, what was it for, or the 10% was of what. So it was a tenth of the spoils. He gave a tenth of the spoils. So we have to decipher and understand the spoils. What does he mean by the spoils? And we find that all this story is taking us to Genesis chapter 14. And there you find the narration of how Abraham went and triumphed over many kings. And in that, I want us to read Genesis chapter 14 from verse 1. I read in the NKJV. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bear, king of Sodom, Bisha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma. I will skip to verse 3. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is the salt sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and attacked the Rephaim in Ashteroth Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, Imim in Shaveh, Karyathaim, and the Heroids in their mountain of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and attacked all country of Amalekites, and also the Amorites who dwelt in the Hazazon Tamar. Wow. Those are tongue twisters. I'll skip to verse 11. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abraham's brother, son who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the Terebinith, trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother to Eshcol and brother to Anah, and they were allies with Abraham. Now when Abraham, that his brother, was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servant attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings were with him. Verse 18. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from the thread of to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say I have made Abraham rich, except only that the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, and Ner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So Lot had been taken captive by these kings. You find that the narrative in this text is what happened with the four kings: Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, in collaboration, went to war against another collaboration of five kings. And these kings were Bear, king of Sodom, Bisha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemer, king of Zobeim, and king of Bela, which is Zoar. The result of the war was that the four kings defeated the five kings. After the defeat, they plundered the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and the 12th verse of Genesis chapter 14 tells us that they took Lot, Abraham's nephew, who had chosen to live in Sodom. Verse 12 says, they also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So when they took this and they departed, they also took his goods. In verse 13, they took his goods. Abraham had it in verse 13, and this was how he got involved. When you look at verse 14 of Genesis chapter 14, Abraham went with 318 men. It reminds me of 3:10. But he went with 318 men, defeated the four kings, and rescued Lot in the process. However, it was not Lot alone that was delivered. In verse 16, you read that, you hear, he's saying, so he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. So he brought everything. Abraham brought back Lot and his goods alongside with women and people, and everything that was taken by these four kings. Hence what Abraham had with him as the time he met Melchizedek in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 14, were his own men 318, and all the goods that he had brought back, inclusive of his brother, his goods and women, and the people. This explains the term spoils used by the writer in Hebrew to refer to the spoils of war. That is everything Abraham recovered after he defeated the four kings and captured Lot. That is, he went to war and recovered all that was taken. However, in Genesis 14 verse 18, we see Melchizedek on the scene, who was described as king of Salem. And in verse 20, he was recorded that Abraham gave him a tithe of all. Therefore, if Abraham gave him a tenth, that is the tithe of the spoils, it is evident that it was from the things recovered in rescuing his nephew or his brother's son, Lot, that he gave as a tithe to Melchizedek. So when you read it carefully in verse 20, it says Abraham gave him a tithe of all. The all in context were the things that were with Abraham, and these were the things he brought back from the rescue of Lot and other things captured by the five kings. So everything that they had picked from all these kings that had invaded the five kings, including Lot's brother, he recovered everything, and everything that he took from those kings, he brought that. He gave a tenth of the spoils. In verse 21, the king of Sodom asked for the persons alone and told Abraham to take the goods. However, Abraham rejected this offer and documented in the preceding verses that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you will say I've made Abraham rich. So when you look at that, Abraham says, I will not take anything that is yours. It refers to the things he brought back, which belongs originally to the king of Sodom. It was out of the things he brought back from war that he gave Melchizedek a tithe, fed his army, allowed others who fought with him to take their share, and returned the rest to the king of Sodom. And that gives a clear clarity of Hebrews chapter 7. So the spoils in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 verse 4, of which Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, refers to the spoils of war. The practice of tithing by Abraham was seen in him giving out of the spoils of war. He decided to give Melchizedek out of the spoils. Evidently, from his historical account, Abraham was not under any obligation to do so. So it is important to look at this. Firstly, there was no written obligation for Abraham to give Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils. It was his decision to do so in honor. God did not ask him, and there was no place. We do not see him giving a tenth of his spoils anywhere else. Secondly, Abraham did not give the tenth because he wanted to be rich. Abraham was already rich before he gave a tenth of the spoils of the war. That's why he said, so that you don't say you made Abraham rich. Genesis 13 verse 2 says, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. This was before giving his tithe to Melchizedek. So the giving tithe to Melchizedek was not for Abraham to become rich. So the practice of tithing can never be seen as a mark of honor to the recipient of the tithe. You get that? So when you practice tithing, it's a mark of honor to the person who is receiving the tithe. And that is what Abraham did. It was an honor to the priest of the Most High in the person of Melchizedek. Hence the reason why the writer of Hebrews referenced this action of Abraham using the priesthood of Melchizedek in his explanation of Jesus' priesthood. And historically, when you look at the book of Genesis, the second person who did this kind of practice was Jacob in Genesis 28 verse 20 up to 22. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give my and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I shall surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob here is actually giving his own commitment. It was not a commitment that God asked. It is vital to know that there was no record that his father Isaac did the same. No, there was no record that God demanded. No, he was not under any obligation whatsoever to practice what he did. That is, he determined to give a tenth as an act of his will. His words in verse 20, in chapter 28, Jacob vowed, saying, Jacob vowed. So it was a declaration by Jacob. Interestingly, there was no record that he ever did that. So it was a declaration. It was something that Jacob vowed by himself out of his own will. So in these two instances, God did not demand tithe from them. It was voluntary action by each party. It, however, appeared like they were following a custom which is seen in giving a tenth in honor to the recipient. You're honoring the recipient. The third person who applied the same practice is Joseph, Genesis chapter 47, verse 13. And there was bread in the whole land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And look at verse 14 of Genesis 14. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph, said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for money fails? And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I'll give you for your cattle if money fails. And look at verse 25. And they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find grace in thy sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servant. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. So in Egypt, Joseph rescued the people by the decrees he made, the virtue of his position as the prime minister. Joseph instructed they give 20%, a fifth, to Pharaoh. However, this can be better termed as a tax, not as a tithe. So it was like a tax, not as a tithe. A fifth. So the tax in Egypt was 20%. The priest, he spoke about the above text when you read Genesis 47 from verse 1 all the way to 26. The priests he spoke about the above were idol worshiper. They were not priests of God. Joseph taxed the people, and this is different from what Abraham did voluntarily. Not that he did not give a tithe, neither did he call it tithe, The law he made was for everyone in Egypt except the land of the priest. Therefore, historically, we have seen how Abraham gave a tithe of the spoils of war to Melchizedek. Jacob spoke about giving a tithe or tenth, and these cases, both cases, are voluntarily. They are actually out of volition. It's their will, according to the way they willed. However, Joseph gave a decree to the nation of Egypt to give 20% of their increase to Pharaoh. It is important to note that all these instances in Genesis were before the law was given to the Jews in the book of Exodus. This explains why the writer of the book of Hebrews made a contract between the tithe of Abraham, which he gave to Melchizedek, and the tithe stipulated under the law of Moses. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 5, and verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to have tithe of the people according to the law. This is their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendant is not counted from there received tithe of Abraham and blessed him that had promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed by the better. So Hebrews chapter 7 verse 5, the writer explains that the Levites who occupied the office of the priest were commanded by Moses to take the tithe of the people according to the law of Moses. This is different from what Abraham did to Melchizedek and Jacob, who did it out of volition, just voluntarily. In this case, there was a commandment according to the law of Moses for the people from the tribes of Israel, the 11 tribes, to give a tenth to the Levites who occupied the priesthood. So the word tithe in context of Hebrews chapter 7 verse 5, as mentioned by the writer of the book of Hebrews, was now a stipulation under the law. It was not a commandment. Hence, in speaking of the sons of the Levites, or the Levites who are the priests, he spoke of how they received the tithe from the brothers, the other tribes, the 11 tribes, that is putting forth the greatness of Melchizedek. He used what they were familiar with. They were familiar with the commandment according to the law, which was for all other tribes to give tithe to the Levites. The priests who are Levites were men who ministered to God on behalf of people, and as such they were revered. With this knowledge, he then points them to the fact that for Abraham to give tithe to Melchizedek, who was not a Levite, he was obviously great. So that brings a different clarity on the Levite and Melchizedek. For Abraham, man full of promises, who was called by God to give a tithe to Melchizedek, who had no beginning nor the end of the family, he was actually pointing as Melchizedek being a great. He climaxed by extolling of Melchizedek by stating how Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. Then he wants us to see the priesthood of Melchizedek, which was superior to that of the Levites. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. When you read this verse out of context, a question that comes to your mind: did the author simply say that Jesus also received the tithe? I pray that this question will linger in your mind as we catch up in our next session. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your light that has permeated the souls of many in regards to tithing, Abraham, Jacob. I pray, God, that this light will illuminate and cause them to stand on higher grounds in the things of God. May we reflect and glorify Jesus in all our dwellings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.